We're being Galatians to start off with, and we'll be there a little bit tonight. About the Christian and the law, this is number three. And the question, it's a question, what are we still under? What are we still under? I think we're going to do a fourth lesson. This message, on the points, each point, I kind of feel like I need to go a little bit to the side and explain some things on each point. But I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to give you the basic principles tonight. And next week, I'll go maybe more into detail of specific things, because I feel like I have too many loose ends to tie up with this. And there's a lot of Bible on it, certainly. And so we're in no hurry. And so we'll do probably another week on it next week. Galatians 3, in next week's lesson, we'll kind of tie to this one a little bit. Galatians 3. First thing I want to do is, I just want to say again, we're not under the law, okay? I just want to prove that. We're not going to go to all the verses. Last 2 weeks, we did a lot of verses on that. The Bible, and I'll just give it where the Bible says it, just real simple, a couple verses. And then we'll go into some questions. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So afterwards, we were something else to be revealed in the law. That was grace. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Okay? So there was a schoolmaster who was instructing us. We said it instructed us that we weren't righteous. The law hath concluded all under sin. Read Romans 3. It'll tell you about that. And then verse 25, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So, it goes on to say there's no longer Jew and Gentile, Greek and all these things. It's we're all one in Christ, we're his children, and we're saved by faith. And so it says, once the law was a schoolmaster, it brings us to Christ. Once you come to Christ, we're not under the schoolmaster anymore. Pretty simple. You were under your parents at one time, you're not under your parents anymore. Hopefully. That means you don't go live back in here with your parents when you're 40. And, amen? And, because we're no longer under mommy and daddy when you grow up. And, so we're not. That was free. That was a good way to get that in, wasn't it? And, Romans 6, and, just again, where it's going to say we're not under the law. So I'm not at Bible college anymore. When I was in Bible college, they had 3,167,842 rules. And I was under those rules. But you know what? I'm not under those rules anymore. Praise the Lord. I can go back on campus and they can't. I don't have to check in at night. I don't have to get a pass to leave after the hours. I don't have to be in my bed in my room with the lights out at 11 o'clock. They don't have to check my bed. Hallelujah. And so I'm not under those rules anymore. I'm under something far better called marriage. And so I'm not going to put myself back under those rules. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. I don't understand how people still, Christians who are trying to go back into the law, just read it. You're not under the law, you're under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And so we say we are not under the law. But then it says, should we just go ahead and sin because we're not under all these rules? No, it doesn't. It says, and the argument here talks about being a servant to who you choose to serve. If you're serving sin, you're a slave to sin. Or you can yield yourself to God and be his servant. And we see that. Now let me take you to Matthew and chapter 5. And the well-known verse 17. Think not that I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The word fulfill means to fill all the way to the top, to cram. All right. Let's pray. We'll talk about what laws are we still under. Father, I pray you to help me to have your word in my mouth and your truth in my mind and heart. And I pray you'd help us to grasp this truth and to get what part of the Bible we're still under and we're living in and what age we're living in and understanding these truths, Father. They're a little deep, and it was very confusing for the Christians in the book of Acts trying to figure this out. Now, Lord, you've given us the New Testament, so we don't have to be confused, and the entrance of your word gives light and you dealt with these issues very thoroughly and help us to see and understand and to grasp. And I pray you'd speak to our hearts and help us to get the truth and understand it all. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's pretend, we talked about last week, the shadow of things to come. And we talk about a policeman. You can see his shadow. He's around the corner and he's telling you to come. You don't know what's going to happen, but you're going to obey. He's waving to you to come. And you have someone about to kill you and you follow what the policeman says. Like he's got it figured out and you're trusting him. Let's illustrate it another way. There's this large, giant island. And on this island, there are no vehicles. And it's a very big island and very hard to get around. And so someone lands on the island and he says, listen, he says, we're here to make your lives better. And the islanders say, well, what are you going to do? And he said, well, these things called cars. And they said, oh, that sounds so great. We want cars. And he said, but it's going to take a while to get the cars here and to get it all set up. So what we're going to do is we are going to prepare you for cars that are going to come. So what we're going to do is we're going to teach you, first of all, how to drive and everything. So what we're going to do is we are going to make a wooden car. And it's going to have a gas pedal and a brake and some of the cars are going to have a fake clutch and a gear shifter. And it's going to have this thing called a steering wheel. It's going to have all these things on it. And it's going to have a turn signal that people don't use all the time. It's going to have all these different things. And this is how you drive and this is what you do. And you are going to learn and prepare for when we have cars. And what we're going to do is we are going to set up on the island is we're going to, on the trails, we're going to prepare you for cars when they come and there's going to be roads. So there's these things called stop signs. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to train you that when you come on your bikes or when you're coming to these intersections, you're going to stop at the intersection. And you're going to wait for the car to go and you have to come to a stop and go again. And we're going to teach you to ride your bike on the right side of the road. And so you're going to be prepared for that. Or if you're walking, you're going to walk on the right side of the trail. And we are preparing you for all these things. And so somebody sits down in the car and they go down and they say, okay, this is the fake gear shifter. This is an automatic. Let's put it in D. And we put it there. And okay, I'm driving. I'm pushing on the gas pedal and they're training for all that stuff. And they're turning the turn signal on. And they're driving around. And they practice and practice and practice. And they're getting it down. And they're figuring out how to drive and how to live into under that system. And where you're going to stop and go and turn signals and do all the things that you do in society. And they've all been trained how to do that. And so, okay, there they go. So, boom, they got it all down. They practice those laws. Now, the car that's sitting there, the wooden fake car, is not really what's important. And once you get a real car, you don't need the old car. Okay? So all of a sudden, they come in, they bring in the cars, and they bring in the, and they make roads, and they prepare everything, and they get everything all ready, and now they're going to drive. So now they have cars, and people trade their coconuts and bananas and mangoes for cars, and they get the cars, and they drive around the island, and they've already prepared for it. They understand it now. They know how to honk their horn if they're in New York, part of the island, and they know how to use their turn signals, and how to park, and how to back up, and all the things you're supposed to do, look both ways, and all those things. So they have it trained now. They have cars now. They are on the road, and they know how to do it now. The practice cars and the fake little paper stop signs that they had at all the intersections and all those things were a shadow of what was to come. Okay? Now they've learned. Now the cars are there. Now the real things are there. Now they have real roads, real stop signs and stop lights and all those things. And so now they have the real thing there. Now they do not need to go back to the fake cars. The cars were just preparing them for what was to come. It was a shadow of good things to come. Okay? However, do they still need the principles they learned preparing? Okay, did away with the fake cars, they did away with all the fake things, but they still need to stop at stop signs, right? Because those are the principles, those are the morality of driving, supposed to be. And turn signals, just because you don't have the fake car now doesn't mean you don't need to use your turn signal now. Because that's part of driving. That's part of what the rules and the authority demands. And you got to stay on the right side still. Now you have the real thing. You don't need the fake cards. You don't need the fake rules. But you still got to stay on the right side of the road because that is the morality of it. That's the rules of it. It's not the shadow. It's not the preparation. It is how you do it, and it was going to prepare you for it because that is the way you drive. So you follow the idea there. So shadows are gone, but the rules and principles are still there. Okay? Now let's read our passage here. Matthew 5. Think that I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I'm not going to get here yet. Let me hold off. Let me go to a couple points, and I'll get to this point in a sec. It'll fit better. So how do we know what parts we're still under? A few things. First of all, we covered last week. First, is it a shadow of things to come? Okay, let's go to Colossians 2. Good verse on this. We hit on last week. Colossians chapter 2. How do we know if we're supposed to be under it? Well, if it was a shadow of things to come, then you do not need to continue it because it was just pointing you to the real thing. Okay? There's 100 things in the Bible that the Bible talked about being a shadow of. The temple was going to be a picture of your body and the real temple in heaven, okay? The lamb was a picture of Jesus. It was a shadow of things to come. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, let no man judge you in meat or in drink, that's diet, or in respect of an holy day, the or of a new moon, the Jewish calendar, or of a Sabbath days. And there's a lot of the verses on the calendar thing we will get to probably next week. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So is it a shadow of things to come? It says those things specifically, the Sabbath, the holy days, the calendar, and the dietary things, they were a shadow of things to come. Okay, got it. You can eat pig now. Okay, praise the Lord. And you don't have to keep Pentecost anymore. Pentecost happened. Okay, what it was a picture of happened. If you look at the meaning of Pentecost, it was talking about the Holy Spirit coming. And it was a picture of that. And all these things. The Passover happened. Amen. Jesus was our Passover, the Bible says. Okay, we can point to the verse that says that in the New Testament. Christ our Passover, okay? So you don't have to do Passover. You want to do Passover? No problem. Just don't require it. Don't think it's required for salvation. You want to remember what Jesus did, what God did for the Jews in the Old Testament. You can do that. Nothing sinful about it. And Christians have before done that. And nothing wrong with that. Jewish Christians do that still many times. No problem. It's nothing wrong about it unless you think it's a requirement or unless you think you're doing it because it needs to be fulfilled. Okay? If it's remembrance, it's fine. But is it a shadow? And so those things, if it's a shadow, we don't have to keep doing it because it's been fulfilled. Number two, there is how do we know what we're still under? Is there a New Testament fulfillment? Let's go to Hebrews. Is there a New Testament fulfillment in it? In other words, if it's fulfilled in the New Testament said has been fulfilled, then you know we're not under it anymore. Remember, 2/3 of the Bible is the Old Testament. Okay, that's a lot of the Bible. But a lot of it, and once you start understanding the types and the allegories and the pictures in the Old Testament, Leviticus becomes a little more interesting. A little more. And you understand that these are symbols. And they're showing us pictures, these things. And so let's look. Is there New Testament fulfillment in it? Let's just show you this in Hebrews 9, real simple one, verse 12. Let's go to 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, what he just said there, he says, all those sacrifices of goats and lambs and all the things in the Old Testament, Christ came and did once for all. They were all pointing to him. He became the sacrifice for us. Now watch, it'll go into detail and show how it had to be that way. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer and the sprinkling of the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Dead works are works to try to save you. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions which were under the first testament, the which were called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Okay? So it says that was fulfilled. We can see that pretty clearly. Chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, this is Hebrews 10, 1, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience for sins. But if those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore then, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifice, if for sin thou hast had no pleasure. And and so it wasn't enough. Verse 9. And then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish a second. He takes away the lambs and all the goats and all those things. He takes those away that he can establish the second. He takes away the fake signs. They take away the wooden cars. They can give you the real thing. Okay? And that's what Jesus did. verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Say the next three words. Once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, and offereth oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away this our sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, that from henceforth expect until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Pretty clear? Okay? He says, I did it once, it's done, you don't need to do it anymore. Okay? So, if Christ fulfilled it, you don't have to do it anymore. And all the lambs said, amen. So that's all, because that's all done. We see that. And so, now I've got a bunch of illustrations that maybe get into next week. We'll see if we get into it a little later if we have time. Number three, and this is the big one I want to focus on tonight, because we touched on those first two. Is it a shadow, or is there a New Testament fulfillment? Number three, is it God's morality? This is different. See, I'm the Lord, I change not. Okay? So if God thought something was wicked and awful in the Old Testament, that will never change. Okay? There's no fulfillment of God saying this is immoral. Amen. Okay, so there's no fulfillment. It wasn't a shadow. It was God said, I think this is wrong, thou shalt not. Those things never change. We're still under those because there's no fulfillment. There's no shadow. It's just God said, this is wrong. And so you don't do that. And so that is God's morality. Let me illustrate this way. Let's say you work and you're a construction worker. And on this particular site, I've had to do this before when I was doing construction, is this is a clean site and a clean room. And when you go into that room, you have to put on a little hat, you have to put on little booties on your feet, and you have to wear a little coat over it when you go to work in there, because they don't want you dragging all the dirt in there and stomping in there with your dirt. And so at this site, they're making a clean room for disks, for computers. Okay, in that site, they tell you you have to put all these things on before you can go in this room. Okay, I've had to do that before. And it says also, never, 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 never operate a core electrical things when your electrical cord's laying in the water. Okay? So you have two rules. Okay, now you're done at that site and you're going over and you're working on the hotel across the street. Do you have to wear the clean suit? No. That was fulfilled in that room. It was for a purpose for that time. So somebody says, well, I'm not under that same rule as that last site. Every site, you don't work the power tools while your cord's laying in a puddle of water. You do not have the guy hold a piece of board on top of his head while you cut it. Okay? You don't do that at any site. Okay? Because that's wrong. Because the boss says, and so you don't need to be told that at every site. There's no change. That's not going to change no matter what site you're at. It's just, that's what's right and wrong. Okay? And so that's not going to change anything. And so God's morality never changes. And he's not going to change. I'm the Lord, I change not. And so just simple. Let's look at Leviticus in chapter 20. We'll look at something in the book of Leviticus, which so much was fulfilled. In chapter 20. And verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. Okay, abominations don't change. God didn't like it. And they shall surely put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. Okay? There's no fulfillment for homosexuality. It's still wrong. You know that for a lot of reasons. Number one, it wasn't a shadow of anything. It was a morality thing. God said it's an abomination. So the New Testament, but normally when God says, hey, this is still true, you'll find God also saying the same thing in the New Testament because God hasn't changed his morality, okay? And so let's go to Romans and see if the New Testament still says it's wrong. Now, if there's no picture, no fulfillment, if it's a morality thing, God's morality, God didn't say, that used to be wrong, but you know, now it's not wrong. If it was wrong, it was wrong to God. God doesn't get enlightened. He already knows everything. Romans 1 and 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. God calls something vile. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature, and likewise the man, this is Romans 1, 27, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which is meet. So, homosexuality was wrong in the Old Testament. It's still wrong. As God said, it's an abomination. I don't like it. Okay? Let's go to Matthew. Now we'll get into this a little bit. We just figured to start off with whatever's most offensive, and then we can go backward from there. And so Matthew chapter 5. Just because the president said it's okay, and just because our laws say it's okay, doesn't mean it's okay. It's still an abomination. Don't have to kill him. Jesus taught us that with a woman caught in adultery. Okay? But it's still sin. And we love everybody, of course, and try to reach everybody and are kind to everybody. And everybody needs Jesus. But it's a sin, just like lying, stealing, cussing, and all this stuff. Let's start at verse 17. And watch what we just taught you. Watch God talk about this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I come to destroy the law. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or tittle will pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore will break the least of these commandments and shall teach others so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Many liberal Christians today say, but we're under grace. You can't condemn people for doing wrong. God's not judgmental anymore. God never changed. Okay, you don't have to sacrifice a lamb, but it doesn't mean God said, murder was Old Testament. You can murder now. No, God hasn't changed, okay? God, now, we don't have to live under the social laws. We have to kill everybody who does that. I mean, otherwise Jesus would have the woman in adultery killed. He said, go and sin no more, and had compassion on her. But he did not. He called the adultery sin. He said, go and sin no more. It was still sin. Okay, we'll show you that. Verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of God. If you have any sin, you won't go. Ye have heard that it is said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. That's Old Testament. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, now what people think he's going to say is, it's no longer wrong, but he doesn't say that. But whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your altar to the gift, and remember thy brother hath thought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and be right with your brother. He said, in the Old Testament, you heard, thou shalt not kill. But I'm going to tell you, you know what? If you are angry and rude and nasty to your brother without cause, you're in danger of damnation too. That's what he says. You ready? Pay attention. Did he say murder was no longer wrong? Not at all. He just made it stricter. He hated, in 1 John it says, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. God says, if you are mean and nasty, you offended it too. And you're guilty too. Now you're still under thou shalt not kill. We're all still under that. Verse 27. You have heard that it had been said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say we're in a different age today and we can still do that. No. But I say unto the whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And how bad is it if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee? Is God still against adultery? Yep. Yeah, he's still against adultery. His morality, a man cheating on his wife or a wife cheating her husband, God didn't say, well, that's Old Testament. That's fine now. No, it's his morality he thinks is wicked. And he still says it's terrible, but now looking at lust is adultery too. And so he's not taking that away. Divorce. It had been said, verse 31, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a right in divorcement. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, save him for the cause of fornication, cause her to commit adultery. Is it still adultery? Yep, still the word God uses. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. So God's going to go through and say, hey, adultery is still wrong. Murder is still wrong. Divorce is still wrong. All these things are still wrong in the new covenant because there's no fulfillment. Oh, when Jesus said it is finished, he was talking about marriage, and so you can get divorced. No, it's not fulfilled. Okay, there's no fulfillment of divorce. There's no fulfillment. There's no shadow in murder. In lying, there's no fulfillment that Christ fulfilled the lying thing. The lamb was fulfilled, the Sabbath was fulfilled, a whole bunch of things are fulfilled, but the morality of God never changes. Amen. He's the same God. He believes the same thing. And so if it's a morality issue that God has, then it's a different thing. And so you gotta study your Bible, and he will repeat it in the New Testament. And you will see evil concupiscence, adultery, and fornication, let it be not once named among you. The New Testament, we're not going to turn all the verses, they're going to say, don't commit adultery again. Because God's reiterating it. He does it with homosexuality. He does it with murder. He does all the morality of God. He continues. And he says, these things are still wrong. They have not changed. Okay, let's look at the Sabbath then. Sabbath's a little different now. So is the Sabbath the morality of God, or is it something fulfilled? Let's go to Colossians again, to chapter 2. Because there's people who say, you got to keep the Sabbath, it's still a sin. Look, it's part of the Ten Commandments. Okay? Look at the Ten Commandments and see what parts are morality and what parts are fulfilled. Okay? Let's see. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, respect of an holy day or a new moon or a Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. The Bible has told us it's a shadow. What in the world is a Sabbath a shadow of? Well, the Bible will tell us. Hebrews chapter 3. What is the Sabbath a shadow of? I'm glad we have the Bible because God knew we'd have these questions. He answers them for us. Hebrews 3. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest entering, being left of us entering into the rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that hear it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place the seventh day. Now we're on the Sabbath, and we're talking about the first day, the seventh day, and all the different things. The seventh day, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. Context, Sabbath. But he's talking about us entering into a rest. What in the world is that? And to this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore there remaineth some that must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So the Sabbath is a picture of someone not entering into a rest because of unbelief. Verse 7, again he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest, the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any of you fail after the same example of unbelief. He says the Sabbath is a picture of someone stopping their works and resting in Christ and quit working. Remember the strict rules in the Sabbath he had? It was showing you how much salvation is by faith, and it's a rest you enter into. Salvation is a rest. And they could not enter in because of unbelief. They were still trying to work. The Sabbath is a shadow of things to come, which is the rest for your soul. So it's fulfilled. So it is not a sin to work on. The Sabbath is Saturday, by the way, not Sunday. It is not a sin to work on Saturday. God did it for your good. He made the Sabbath for you. It's for your blessing. He says it's better for you to have a day of rest. You'll be refreshed. God, Sabbath, the man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. God said, I give it to you. I fulfilled it. Now, wrong to take a day of rest? No, good. God says it's good for you. God said, I gave it to you for a day of rest. You ought to take a day of rest, but it's not required. It was fulfilled. It was a shadow. It's not God's morality. Okay, it's not God's morality. But these other things are. And so we see that. And so the morality has never changed. These things never transform. And so we see that. Next, how do we know if we're still under it? We said, number one, is it a shadow? Number two, is our New Testament fulfilled? Three, is it his morality? And I want to get some of the verses, but... number four, does it violate the two great commandments? Let's see, where are we? Let's go to Galatians 5. Does it violate the two great commandments? I mean, these are the things you have to, just four things here, and you will know if it's still part of the commandment. Galatians chapter 5. And Galatians 5 is all about do not go back under the law. It's all Galatians 5 is about. Big, big deal. The whole book of Galatians is. And by the way, if you want to know what we're not under and under, it's really simple. Book of Hebrews is the best book. Book of Galatians is the second best. Book of Romans is third best. Read those books. They talk a lot about what's been fulfilled and what we're not under. And especially Hebrews, though. And so, let's see. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's go back to... So all the laws fulfilled in one commandment. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Does it violate the two great commandments? Because all the laws are filled in love. Matthew 22. Verse 37. Verse 36. Master, what is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy... And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto us. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, does love fulfill it? All the commandments are fulfilled if you love the Lord. So let's go through the Ten Commandments. First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We still under that? Yeah, if you love the Lord, are you going to have another god before him? No. Is that God's morality? Yeah. Idolatry is again. Number two, thou shalt have no graven images, nor shall you bow yourself to them. Are we still under that? Okay, is it God's morality that you don't have idols and bow down to them? Okay, so we see, there it is. If you love God, will you bow down to their idols? No, okay. Third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay, we under that? Is that God's morality? It's not God's morality. It's a thing to help us, to be a blessing to us. But he said you're not underneath it. It's been fulfilled. Fourth commandment, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Okay? If you love God, are you going to use his name in vain? No. Is it God's morality? He says all over the Bible, my name's holy. Okay, don't mess with my name. Okay? Fifth commandment, thou shall not... I haven't memorized since first a Christian. I haven't just quoted them in order. Thou shall not commit adultery. Is that fifth? What's fifth? Honor thy father and mother. Okay? If you love your father and mother, will you honor them? Yes. Is that God's morality? Okay. So we're still underneath that. Mom and Dad, you're Old Testament. I'm New Testament. I ain't doing anything you're saying. No, it's not. That's not what works. By the way, does God back up that up in the New Testament? Does he say that in Galatians maybe? Or Ephesians? He says it in both. Honor your father and mother. In the New Testament. Why? It's God's morality. It's never going to change. There will never be a time when God says, you know, you don't have to honor your parents. Okay? Thou shall not. Which one's next? Exodus 20. Thou shall not commit adultery. I'll get them in just not in order. Okay? Adultery, is that God's morality? Okay, is it going to change? What, did Christ fulfill it? No. Christ didn't fulfill anything about that. Thou shall not steal. Is that God's morality? Okay. And did Christ fulfill that somehow? He didn't fulfill that. So, and by the way, does it say thou shalt not steal in the New Testament? We talked about it on Sunday. The New Testament's going to say these things. And so it's going to tell us these things. So it's really not that hard. God's morality doesn't change. The holy days, the sacrifices, the temple, and all that it pointed to Jesus, the veil, the priesthood. Well, the Bible says that we are now priests of God. Hebrews 4 and 5 and 6. And we are now priests of God. And we can enter into the Holy of Holies. That fulfilled? Yep. And so we don't need to keep that. So you just look. If you love your neighbor, are you going to covet their stuff? No. If you love God, are you going to covet and be discontent with what he's given you? No. So it's part of those, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself and love God. The first four commandments pertain to God and your relationship with him. The last six commandments pertain to man and your relationship with them. But the Sabbath is the one out of the ten that was fulfilled. Okay? Most of the symbols and the holy days and all the things that he mentions in the Bible, they were fulfilled. Okay, let's go a little trickier. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy 22. Now, I got written down here, circumcision. The Bible says there's circumcision we're not under anymore. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 says that we are given a circumcision by God without hands. And there was a spiritual thing and a picture of some things. We'll get into that. Deuteronomy 22. Now you have to look at some things. Look at verse 10. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Okay, that's interesting. What is that? You know, you find that these things about when you dig a whole bunch of the Bible, you will find God had unbelievable laws of separation. Your clothing cannot be made of two different types of material. If you have polyester, God forgive you, but if you have polyester, then you know what? It'd be a sin. Why did God have these rigid things? Because everywhere in the Bible, God was showing the law of separation. Okay? And we're going to show you the fulfillment of that. Okay? That is not the morality of God. God didn't say, this is an abomination to me. He just says, you're my people, Israel, I have a special relationship with you. You're going to show a bunch of things that I want to show a picture of in the temple and this and that and the setting things aside and the separation and all these things that are in every little thing. Chapter 22 and verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination to the Lord God. Is that God's morality? It's God's morality, isn't it? Is that going to change? No. See, God says certain things are abomination. Certain things are right and wrong. Certain things are, and then God says, you know what? I'm teaching us a picture of Jesus with this. I'm teaching a picture of the future temple with this. I'm teaching about you're the temple of God. I'm teaching about separating from evil things. I'm teaching about the sacrifice that my son will pay. I'm teaching about the Passover and how the lamb will be killed and how the death angel will pass over you and your spirit will be saved. But then there's other things God said, this is wrong. And so we're not going to go through it because there's dozens of things. By the way, you read Proverbs, you'll find out, you'll be surprised what God says is an abomination. You know, and the lying tongue, for example, is an abomination. So there are things that are God's morality. There are things that God said, this is wrong. They're real obvious in the Bible, and God will back them up in the New Testament. Almost always. And so you look for it in the New Testament, and you just find, by the way, the New Testament basically will tell you everything is right and wrong. It'll tell you that. But it's a matter, am I into these things? Four things. Is it a shadow? Was there a New Testament fulfillment? Is it his morality? And does it violate the second or the two great commandments? Love the Lord, love your neighbor. So here they say, so I'll finish up with this. Romans 14, this meat was sacrificed to idols. You weren't supposed to eat that in the Old Testament. New Testament, Paul says, hey, God can cleanse that. Go ahead and eat it. But if your brother is wounded and offended because you're eating it, your Christian brother, because you're eating food that was sacrificed to idols and now you bought it at the market, if it's going to offend him, that's violating the law. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, so don't eat it. Allowed to biblically? Yes. But the law is fulfilled in love your neighbor and love God. And you're not loving your neighbor. And so you don't do it. And so you find that that's why you do that. All right. Hopefully I got all of that out. That is a lot of doctrine right there. You get it? Understand? Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for the word and the chance to teach it. I pray tonight that we would get the whole picture of your Bible. Thank you. Give us that New Testament that tells us what's fulfilled and tells us what's right and wrong. And you give us the Holy Spirit. If we have any doubts, thank you for the word of God. And I pray that we would understand that we still can't murder. We still can't commit adultery. You didn't change that. You're still holy. And we're supposed to be holy like you. And I pray we'd get the Bible and understand it and love the great fulfillment that Christ gave us. And that he got us out from those lambs and got us out from not wearing clothes of two different types of material and got us out from having to go and keep all these holy days and feasts and everything else. And we don't have to go to a priest and have him sacrifice for us. Jesus paid it all. Thank you for the great time we live in. And that we have the New Testament that tells us all this and explains it to us. We give you the praise. We give you the glory for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed. Thanks for coming tonight.